I'd like to introduce our presenter today. Dr. Olga Patterson, PhD, is a Vinci Services NLP lead and research associate at the VA in Salt Lake City and a research assistant professor at the University of Utah. Dr. Patterson, can I turn things over to you?
Yeah, thank you, Rob. Welcome to the cyber seminar, everybody. I believe you can see my screen now.
We sure can. So, it looks great.
Thank you. Today's discussion is going to be about this approach to acquiring data called chart review or chart abstraction, and specifically the tools that are available on Vinci and the services that Vinci provides to the affiliated researchers. To start, as always, disclaimer, I'm not representing the Department of Veterans Affairs or the United States government. All the opinions expressed in the presentation are mine, but I am funded and supported, and my work is supported by Vinci through the funds with HSIND. Today I'm going to very briefly go through basics of chart abstraction, and then the majority of the discussion will be on using tool called chart review that is so cleverly named because it helps you with chart reviews. So you can easily remember chart review is for chart reviews. And then I will describe the specific services that we provide as Vinci services to perform annotations for anybody. And hopefully we'll have a few minutes to answer questions. And again, the questions should be typed up into the window in your webinar window there in the screen. I am a part of an organization called Vinci, specifically Vinci Services. And there are multiple Vinci services. I lead annotation chart review service as well as natural language processing. But there are other teams, and the overall Vinci services are led by Jeff Sennett and Kevin Malohi. So Vinci is quite a big team. We do lots of different things, everybody who's worked in the VA with data using Vinci probably utilized at least some of these services, if not all of them. I would like to ask a few questions about who you are as audience. So this is the poll question time. And so I believe you can see on your screen questions. So if you could tell me whether you are a researcher, research staff, or administrator, manager, or other, or if you are not affiliated with the VA. All right, I don't, Rob? Okay, so people, oh great, I got the responses. The poll shows that there is a lot of people affiliated with the research, and these categories of so the audience, you are my primary focus. This presentation is going to be very practical and for you. If you are not affiliated with the VA, this presentation might not be as interesting. So the next question is related to your specific experience with chart review as a methodology. So if you've never participated in any chart review activities, or if you've just seen others do it, like you collaborated on a project that used chart review, or if you performed abstraction yourself as a part of a project, or if you managed it, so there are several options for you here. And if you led, like plan, design, and conduct a charge review project, please mark that option.
Dr. Patterson, I apologize. I could not unmute my headset a moment ago. Thank you for taking control. I'm back on.
Okay. Well,
so we have about 75%, almost 80% of the answers. So I'm going to go ahead and close this poll question and share out the answers. And as I was supposed to do a moment ago, I'll read to you the results. 32%, of course, it's going to be over 100% because this was, maybe not, I'm sorry. 32% chose I have not participated. 26% chose I have collaborated. 21% chose I have performed chart review. Only 3% say they have managed at least one chart review. And 19% say that they've led, meaning planned, designed, or conducted chart review projects. So I'm going to go ahead and hide that.
All right. And the next question?
Next question being, which best describes your familiarity with Vinci and VA data? Answer options being, I have never used Vinci or VA data for research. I have used VA data for research, but not in Vinci. I've used Vinci and VA data, and I am an experienced user of Vinci and VA data. And we have about 60% voted, so we'll give people a few more moments to make their choices. It usually levels off around 80%, and we're just over that now. Things are still streaming in. And it's leveled off, so I'm going to go ahead and close the poll and share the answers out. And Dr. Patterson, 21% of your attendees say that they have never used Vinci or VA data for research. 27% say that they have used VA data for research, but not in Vinci. 37%, so a majority, say that they have used Vinci and VA data, and only 15% say that they're experienced user of Vinci in VA data.
Thank you. Well, thank you for answering the questions. And the main reason for these specific questions is that this presentation is geared towards the affiliated researchers or research staff who are familiar with chart abstraction methodology, who are familiar with VA data, specifically corporate data warehouse data structure, who are familiar with Vinci, and who are planning to use Vinci for chart abstraction. If you are in other categories, I hope you will find this presentation informative, but I would suggest that you view the similar presentation that we did back in June this year that describes more in more basic terms and more introductory terms what chart abstraction is, what data is available in the VA for research, and other things that are more general. Because today my focus will be very technical and very practical. For those people who are planning to do chart abstraction and alternative words that I will be using, chart review, medical record review, chart annotation, it means the same thing. As a research methodology of data collection for retrospective investigation. So this is going to be the focus, and the specifics of Vinci will be, the details of Vinci operation will be used with an assumption that you are familiar with it. So if some terms or some things are not clear, please ask questions, but I'm making some assumptions about you as an audience. Okay, so this is a basic overview. And to bring everybody on the same level with terminology, I'm going to talk about annotation. And annotation is a way of doing chart abstraction, and that's identifying passages in text that contain information. And an annotation, as a mention, will have several attributes to it. So first of all, an annotation has a class, and that's assigned meaning to data. We also call it a label. We say it's a concept. Sometimes we call it annotation class or annotation type. And it's roughly equivalent to semantic type, the meaning of data. When we identify annotation in text, we identify a span, which is a pointer to start and stop indices in text. What means is, for example, if we have a document that starts with this sentence, the CXR shows LLL consolidation, and we're trying to find the clinical concept in this document, we imagine that every letter has an index, starting with zero and then going on. And the annotation will start from index 14 to index 30. And so that's the span. And then we can, besides class, we also assign assign features with their values. And in this particular example, we can say this finding is present, and therefore the feature assertion will have value present. So this is the basic of doing abstraction through annotation. You identify evidence and text that supports whatever goal of your study is, and you identify these phrases in clinical notes to as evidence of your further analysis. So that's called annotation. That whenever I say we will annotate or we do annotation, that's what we're creating. We're creating these. We identify these passages of text. We identify where exactly in text it's located, and we assign meaning to it, and we assign feature and values to that phrase. The overall project workflow of annotation starts with defining concepts and variables. Then you typically need to select an annotation tool. You perform document selection to identify the documents that are relevant to your particular study. Then you have to develop a very clear annotation guideline to teach and train people, abstractors, annotators, how to perform this particular project. You have to identify these people who will be doing the work, and so train them as well. And once the work is completed, you have to evaluate the quality of the outcomes. So this is a process that is fairly well established. Chart abstraction is quite an old activity in research. It has been performed since the beginning of medical research. It started with paper charts in 1800s, and this particular process has been done many, many ways. The only difference now is that we have electronic tools that support this process. Another terminology, markables. The markables are those elements that will be annotated, and it's a combination of annotation types or those classes, so those labels, all the concepts that you're going to be operating with in your project, then relationships between those concepts as a link between individual phrases within clinical documents. And then one of the types of markables is also features. And features can be either for specific concept, annotation type, or relationships may also have features. And the full combination of these markables, we call it annotation schema. When we create our annotation project, it may be really, really complex. A decision point comes at this time when we are considering a large, complex project, and the scope of the project will be inversely proportionate to the accuracy or consistency of the annotations, because as humans, we have a limitation. Our human ability to keep all these different items in mind has a limit. And different studies state that this limit is 4 to 7 of different units, and each unit in this case would be like a markable or a concept. So if you go beyond 7 concepts, it's really difficult to achieve consistency across the whole corpus with multiple people, and consistency is extremely important when you create a set of annotations. And it's especially important when you create those annotations to be evaluated not just in qualitative way, but also specifically quantitative way, statistically, and when you draw conclusions, when you build models using the data, it has to be consistent to be valuable. And the way to deal with big complex projects is not to do them, but to break them into smaller projects. And treating an abstraction project as a series of annotation projects is an approach that is quite successful. When you have, say, 300 patients, and you have a list of 20 questions that you want to be answered about these patients in your research study, the best way to achieve consistency is to have your abstractors take one question at a time and do all the patients and then switch to the next question and go through all the patients with that set of questions, rather than take the full abstraction instrument and take one patient at a time and find answers to the whole abstraction instrument, you know, to the whole project one person at a time. It's much better to do a subset of the of your project, and that's how you would achieve consistency. The definition of what exactly you're going to be doing for the project, you start with your abstraction instrument, but then to make it into annotation project, you have to be much more detailed in the description of the concepts. So you have to identify the key points that you're evaluating, called concepts, and then you have to define them in very specific terms, like how exactly it will be in text, and taking broader definitions like diagnosis. When you define a variable diagnosis, you have to say, well, you want something to be mentioned specifically in text or inferred. You may want to use medical knowledge. You want to use abstractor's medical knowledge to infer diagnosis, and that's part of the variable definition, so that all chart abstractors agree that, oh, they will not just look for evidence that is explicitly mentioned, but also will try to infer. Or maybe you want the other way around. You want only those statements that are explicitly stated to be evaluated and recorded. So that's the difference between the concept definition and variable definition, is when with concepts you are more broad, and then variable you become very, very, very specific. Then you have to define the level of annotation and the annotation boundaries for each instance, and I'm going to describe it in a minute. But when you define concepts and variables, it's very practical to have this document, concept sheet, that would describe your concepts and then define them as variables, point out where these concepts may be found, and then also define the full range of values that this variable can take. So in this example, when we study, say, colonoscopy procedures, and one of our concepts is procedure indication, when you just say to an abstractor, oh, I want a procedure indication, there's too much interpretation involved in that, so that multiple people may interpret this request differently. And that's why you develop this concept sheet with stating exactly what you mean when you say procedure indication. So one of the ways of defining it would be to say, well, only those explicitly stated indications would be considered, and only in colonoscopy report rather than, you know, a consult prior to colonoscopy or some other source, and that there's only a specific range of possible values that you want to consider. So this document becomes extremely important when a project is takes time and carrying on the definition across time. So in the beginning of the project, you define this, but then a year from that moment, you may forget, or multiple people may have different memories of the previous definition that you may have agreed on. And so the document serves not only as a communication device for the team, but also as a record-keeping device, so that over time you stay consistent and everybody can refer to this document over and over again and stay consistent, because consistency is the a very important part of chart abstraction. So this task, as you create the concept sheet, it's basically operationalization of your concepts. So it doesn't tolerate vague definitions, and you should avoid words like any evidence of, or including but not limited to, because it leaves too much room for interpretation, and different people may interpret it and quantify it differently. So the next type of decision that you're doing when you're defining your annotation project is to figure out at which level you're going to be doing annotation. It can be at an instance level, which is like phrases, and a single document may have multiple phrases that are relevant, and so each phrase becomes an instance, or we may say mentions. And sometimes, even within the same document, those individual mentions can disagree. For example, smoking, you may see within the same document a statement that patient doesn't smoke, or patient quit. So those are two different smoking status classifications for a patient. So within the same document, they may disagree, and you need to figure out the best way to approach that as a post-processing step, or have specific special instructions for abstractors on how to deal with conflicting instances. But then we can also have a document level annotation, and at a higher level, it's event level. That's when we look at the patient in a specific date, like a procedure date or episode of care, so that a single patient may have multiple events, and you would evaluate each of these events separately for the same patient. And when we do evaluation at a patient level, we answer questions as a one set for the whole patient without separating into events or individual documents. And when we do annotation, and especially for other processing like natural language processing, we have to figure out where exactly the boundary of the annotation has to be. So for example, if we need to find on label mentions of polyp removal method, what is the exact phrase that you want to be annotated? Is it just the removal method phrase, or maybe a little larger phrase, or maybe the full sentence? And based on this decision, evaluation later on may be affected. And also, when you have multiple people annotating and you measure quality of annotations, you have to keep it in mind because some people may annotate it differently, and then when you compare, do you treat it as a disagreement if different boundaries are annotated, or do you consider it as a match if it just overlaps? So that's a decision. There's no right or wrong answer. It's a decision to be made. When we create our annotation schema, we have to describe it in annotation guideline. And that's a document that is, first of all, everybody agrees on it in the team. And it describes each annotation type, so all the classes, all the labels that need to be annotated in the project, their attributes and any relationships among them. But then you also have to be very clear with examples of what to annotate and what not to annotate, because sometimes those are nuances that are often overlooked, and only when you receive the outcome of the abstraction, you recognize that, oh, that people misinterpreted, that some things shouldn't have been annotated. So examples on both what to annotate and what not to annotate are extremely important. When you select annotation tools, there are so many, some of them are free, some of them you have to pay for. The one that Vinci supports is called ChartView. And it's a browser-based application, which means you don't have to install it. You can simply request access to it, and if you have a project space within Vinci, you can use ChartView. To understand the details about this tool, I have to describe the architecture. ChartView, again, it's a browser-based application, so you have to use Internet Explorer to access it from within Vinci. You will not be able to access it from outside Vinci. And you point your Internet Explorer browser to a URL. At this moment, it's deployed on the specific location, but when you request access to it in maybe a different location, it will be provided to you. And ChartView draws data from databases, which is one of the main differences between ChartView and other annotation applications that rely on text files loaded in a folder on your computer. ChartView has an ability to connect to relational databases to draw data and populate the user interface. And there are two types of databases that ChartView has to be connected to. One is for the metadata, and that database is not visible to anybody but the technicians and software developers who are working with ChartView as developers, not as users. But what you as a user will be linking ChartView to are those project databases. And for research projects, you know, you go through the process obtaining your IRB approval and other, and then you get your space within Vinci in a database. And that's the database that you can connect to through ChartView, and that's how data gets into the display for annotation. And going a little in detail on specifics of that particular database structure, there are two types of tables that ChartView needs to have for proper functioning. There are clinical element tables, and there are Simon, which is a simple annotation schema table. Clinical element tables are the ones that you have to create prior to even opening ChartView. And Simon tables are created automatically by ChartView. Clinical elements are drawn from CDW, but unlike other annotation tools that you may have used within the VA, like Capri or Joint Legacy Viewer or VistaWeb, those tools also draw data from the underlying databases, but you have the ability of searching for the data on the fly. You just have, say, a patient social security number, and you can pull up all the information. But because CDW is so large, chart review does not allow you to simply enter a patient's social security number and find all of their data and combine it. Instead, you have to pre-filter CDW data and create your tables, which we call clinical element tables. And only those tables will be available for chart review to draw data from. There's great flexibility in what exactly you're putting into those tables, and you have full control over that. But those tables have to be created prior to starting your chart review project. Because there are so many decisions that have to be made on what exactly goes into those tables, nobody but the research team can effectively specify those tables for you. So you have to have your team resources, your analysts, who would select the exact patients and exact whatever other data elements that you want the abstractors to see. When you start annotation project from within chart review user interface, there will be process configuration tables created. They define the link, so clinical element configuration table will have a link to the specific clinical elements tables. So that's how chart review will know which table to draw data from and where on the screen to put it. And then the schema for annotation, and there's also like in a pure chart abstraction instrument way, you can define forms as a questionnaire. These are the tables that are project specific. But then as you go through your annotation project, the annotation data is also stored in a set of relational tables. And they are to preserve all the information specific to what has been highlighted in documents, or you can also annotate the whole patient or individual documents or parts of documents or even structured data at multiple levels. So whatever you have in clinical element tables, you can annotate, and that data gets preserved in the annotation data tables that are part of Simon. A little more terminology. So I mentioned clinical element, and these are basically data elements that can be viewed during chart abstraction. And the key to remember is that once you do this, once you start an abstraction project, difficult to it would be impossible to for chart review to go and search through something else to find your data. So you have to pre-specify all your clinical elements, and these tables have to be completed. And one of these tables we designate as principal clinical element, and that's the table that would contain the data for the individual unit of analysis, and most frequently we would say it's a patient. So we evaluate the full patient chart, and so then a patient becomes a principal clinical element that links all other clinical elements. So we look at patient, but then we, for each patient, we want to look at all their documents, all their medication, and all their labs or something else. And so whenever you find yourself saying for the abstraction, for each something, we want to review something else. So for each something, that's a principal clinical element. That's the key that joins everything else. The next terminology is definitions of project, process, and they're related to each other, and also task. So project is basically like a signed workspace. When you request access to Church Review, you will already by that time have your ORD database, and so project is that link between Church Review and your project database. But then within the project, you may define multiple processes. And that's for individual undertaking for a specific research project, you would define a process. And that's linking all the clinical elements and the schema, and then once you go through the process, you will create annotation for that. And then each process will have multiple tasks, and each task is that individual element of the individual item in the principal clinical element table. So individual patient chart is a task. So when you do abstraction, you do it one task at a time. And chart review allows multiple people to draw tasks from a single process. And so that when an abstractor starts working on a process, he or she can claim one task at a time and then complete it. And multiple people that way can work at the same time, because each one of those people will claim an individual task and work on an individual patient within the same process. And that's how you can have multiple people doing abstraction at the same time on the same process within the same project. And I mentioned annotation schema multiple times. So there is annotation schema with things that can be annotated. And there's also a form schema that specifies a list of questions that you can have abstractors to answer, just like type up the answer or select from different options. So Chart Review is very flexible. It allows you to perform lots of different tasks, lots of different activities, display a lot of different types of data in a very easy, user-friendly format. So the definition of a project takes some time, because you have to figure out all the clinical elements. You have to figure out the schema. It's not something that you can just select a patient's social security numbers and just go ahead and start abstraction. But with this complexity, there's also lots of flexibility, and also the complexity is only on the part of project definition, and then it becomes very much easier on the people who are actually doing the work, the abstractors, because everything is presented. To start the process of getting access to a chart review, you have to have your IRB approved if you are in the research project. Since Church Review is within Vinci and can connect to the databases within Vinci, operational projects can also be serviced by Church Review, so there would be no IRB or no DART, but it has to be within Vinci. And the most typical approach is for research projects, you have to have your IRB and DART approvals. And when you request a DART approval, you have to specify the level of access of real SSN, because you will be reviewing clinical notes. And clinical notes have the most intimate information about patients. It's everything. It's about patients themselves, including social security number, including where they live, and details of their personal life and their families. You can find pretty much anything and everything in clinical notes, and therefore the level of access is the highest. You have to fulfill all the regulatory requirements to get access to notes. And once you go through the process, you simply contact Vinci Services and say, okay, I'm good, I'm done, give me access to Chart Review. And that's when the it will start with the concierge team receiving the email, and then it will be forwarded to me and the annotation team, and access to chart review itself will be granted to you. I lead the team, but a very big part of our team is our annotation manager, Lacey Lewis, and when you do request something from our team, it will be probably me or Lacey responding. We provide a range of services, education and training, just like this particular seminar that you're listening to right now, as well as individual training. When you request help, me or Lacey will call you up and we can have a presentation to you personally, specific to your project, educational session for your team. But we also can go deeper into your project. We can define your process, help you with definition of the guideline, or actually develop it fully for you. We also have a team of annotators, and you can contract them to perform the actual abstraction for your project. And we can get to the depth of involvement to perform the full chart abstraction process from the beginning to the end. The first one is Vinci Sponsor. It's free to you. You just request, you have a question about chart review, you have a question about some general topic, and we will respond to you as fast as we can. The other three are under the realm of a collaborative project. And before we are able to put much time into your specific project, we would discuss the scope of work, we'll agree on the budget and other aspects of your particular project. So that would be a completely different level of engagement with your team. So we do offer these educational sessions, and we're planning to go deeper into individual things about chart review, about the abstraction process or natural language processing. We will continue providing education at this broad level, cyber seminars, or there are Vinci sessions as well, similar to HCR&D cyber seminars, we do Vinci Hour. So that's the question to you now. The next poll question, what would you like us to do next?
And Dr. Patterson, that poll is up and running now. This one will be more than 100% because it's a select all that apply. I apologize for my incorrect assumption earlier. We only have about 40% voted right now, so we'll give people excuse me, a little bit more of a chance to get their answers in. Yeah, here we go. Things are picking up.
And everybody, this is your chance to change what we're teaching next, the next cyber seminar.
So the power is in the attendees' hands right now, is what you're saying.
Yes. You tell us what you want to know.
Okay, looks like it's leveled off at about 75%, so I'm going to go ahead and close the poll and then share out the results. And 70% say that they would like detailed training on overall annotation methodology. 56% say that they would like measuring annotations, quality, and output interpretation. 44% say practical SQL for data analysis from SIMAN tables. Only 7% say other topic, and nobody chose nothing. I already know everything that I need to know. And now we're back on your slides.
Yeah, thank you. Well, it's very humble of you to state that there are still questions to be answered. So great. Well, that's very informative. So the next topic will probably go more into details of annotation methodology, which was covered at a high level of detail in our previous cyber seminar that was presented in June of this year. So I would suggest you start there. There are also during that particular CyberSonar, other tools were described, not just ChartReview. But thank you for the suggestion, and we will expand on that topic next time. And great, those were very informative responses. Thank you. And so to end, I really want to answer your questions. So to end our discussion, I'm soliciting your questions. And if we don't get through all of them, please email them.
And attendees, if you if we don't get through all your questions and you need to email them, or if you want to email about this or another issue, the email address is on your screen now. It's vinciservices@va.gov. Dr. Patterson, we have a couple of questions that came in. This first one is a little bit lengthy, so bear with me, okay? We are working on a research project where we are hoping to chart review non-VA use of ED, hospitalization, and other institutional care to potentially 2,000 veteran records. Would chart review be an appropriate option? We know these records are often scanned in. Wasn't sure if this is something our team can do on our own or with consult from Vinci.
Thank you for your question. So there are a few keywords that were stated in the question. And whether the data is in Vinci or not, that's the first way to identify whether we can help you or not. If the data is not in Vinci, specifically it's not in a relational database, then ChartReview may not be the best tool. The second one is images, right? So scanned documents, it's either a PDF or PNG file. So it's an image file. ChartReview does have an ability to display images. You will not be able to annotate like part of the image. You can just label the whole image. The level of detail, highlighted detail, will be different. So there's potentially a way of helping on this particular project. And again, if the data is in Vinci. We currently have not distributed the code for ChartReview. We haven't packaged it to distribute. It's running within Vinci, and as you know, Vinci has firewall. You cannot go between the firewall easily. So if you would like to discuss the details further, or want to follow up on my answer, again, please email to that email address, and I will respond as soon as I can.
Great, thank you. While you were answering that, I'm not sure if it's relevant to that question and answer, but somebody does say that there is a version of ChartReview that is open source.
That's correct, yes. We have released one version of ChartReview a couple of years ago. That particular version does not have single sign-on. So yes, you are welcome to take that version and install it outside of Vinci. We don't necessarily support it anymore because there was a strong push to make it single sign-on, and so the code has been redesigned significantly. So we haven't released the latest version. It's in the plan. We will eventually, but we haven't done it yet.
Okay. The person that asked that first question says, great, thank you. Is it possible to briefly explain ChartReview versus NLP versus CAPRI/JLC?
Yeah, great question. So ChartReview is, and I'm going to very quickly go back to my slide with the screenshot. ChartReview is an application to read text and identify a passage that contains information. It's manual. This is a user interface. It's an example of user interface. It's sort of configurable, and you can make configurations so it will look for your project differently. But ChartReview is a manual abstraction tool, which means that the documents are presented blank to, and all the data elements are presented blank to a user, and it's the user decision which part of text to highlight and what meaning to assign to it. We are working on expanding ChartTrueView to add machine learning capabilities where it would automatically learn what you're highlighting so that it can highlight automatically once it gets to a certain level of accuracy. But we haven't released that. So this is just a current active work that we're working on. But in the current state, ChartReview is purely manual abstraction tool. So you have to define which classes you're going to be labeling. You have to define which data elements will be there, documents and structured data, whatever. And then you work with the tool by highlighting a piece of information and assigning meaning to it, or answering questions as well if it's in a form. Natural language processing is a very broad set of computational algorithms. So natural language processing is not a tool, and it's not a single tool. It's so it's in a completely different category. There's, I believe, a cyber seminar on that, and because it's so different, I'm not going to touch on it anymore. It's a computer science area. It's not a tool. But the other two things that were mentioned in the question are Capri and the joint legacy viewer. Those are tools that are used for chart abstraction, but they are used as a way to view information. You can't enter information into Capri. It's read-only view into the patient chart. So when you do chart abstraction with Capri or the other tools within VA, you have to have a separate application software. Some people even use like Excel spreadsheet or even a piece of paper that you can then enter data in an Access database. But you have to have a separate tool to accept and store the information created during chart abstraction. Whereas ChartReview is in a single user interface, you view the data and you create annotations and store the outcome of the annotation. So that's the main difference. Capri and GLV, VistaWeb, they are only to view the data. They're also flexible in the sense that you can just have a patient's social security number and you can look up any of the information all at once, which is good and bad because it's harder to know what to focus on. Whereas with ChartReview, the person who is doing abstraction is limited to begin with and what can be viewed, which simplifies annotation. For example, if a patient has five documents that are relevant to the task, and they're selected and presented, the patient, the abstractor does not have to go through the thousands of other documents for the same patient to figure out which one is relevant. That's done beforehand. So those are the main differences.
Thank you. Next question. Can ChartReview work if the data wanted is not yet in CDW?
Well, if it's not in CDW, a ChartReview will not have access to it. Looking back at the architecture, whatever can be displayed has to be in on some database, so RBO 1, RBO 2, RBO 3. There are other Vinci database engines that are accessible, but if it's not in Vinci, and it's not in a relational database format, then ChartReview will not be able to display it.
No. Okay, thank you. Well, this is the last question that we have at this time. We still do have 5 more minutes if people have something that they're mulling over. How difficult is ChartReview to use for clinical trainees, as in resident physicians or medical students?
Well, it depends That's an interesting question. It depends how you use them, use the tool. For which purpose? Chart abstraction is a process that has two parts. You define the project and you do the project. Regardless of your clinical status or clinical experience, you can be a part of either of these parts of the process. You would be able to do that without any issues if you know what needs to be done. To define the different parts of chart review data, so the data for chart review, if you are creating the project, you have to have SQL, so SQL skills, to filter CDW to create your clinical elements. And that's what is required, so you may not even have clinical background in any way. When you do annotation, you need to understand the clinical concepts to perform the annotation, but then the user interface is so simple that you don't have to know SQL or anything, and you just need to know what to highlight, what part of text is important. Which may require some clinical expertise depending on the complexity, but may not. Like, for example, for smoking, even a person who's not familiar with anything clinical would be able to interpret patient does not smoke phrase as a non-smoker. But some projects may require more complex answers, and you may need an extensive clinical background. And so regardless of your credentials, it may be very easy or may be very difficult for you to use chart review. If you are very clinical but don't know SQL, you've got to have somebody in your team who knows SQL. And if you're doing chart abstraction and you don't have any clinical background, then you might not be able to do the work efficiently and consistently. So I hope I answered the question.
Okay, well, that was the last pending question that we had. At this time, if you have any closing comments you'd like to make, I think now would be appropriate.
Well, thank you very much, everybody, for listening, and I appreciate your questions. And if you have any more, please email them. I typically respond during the next couple of working days. So I'll receive your question and I'll respond to it. Thank you for your attention.
We had one last comment that says, very helpful presentation. Thank you. So I'd like to echo that. Thank you very much, Dr. Patterson.
Thank you.
Have a good day, everyone.
Bye.